Well, I'm Helen Cole. I'm the director of In Between Time Festival. and the festival's happening now, so it's unfolding before us, I guess, and it's now just over the halfway point.
Yes.
And the festival, it happens in Bristol, it takes place over 5 days, but it's really 4 days and one really long night as we open everything on the Wednesday night. And the idea is that really the festival kind of takes over the imaginations of the people that are part of the festival community, but also impacts on a lot of other people that are just walking past and may see something a little bit strange or eccentric just out of the corner of their eye and will be drawn towards it. So there's both kind of a, you know, an attempt to structure a voyage through a series of different kinds of performance experiences, from sort of starting at 10 o'clock in the morning and then finishing about 2 in the morning. So it's pretty tiring, full on hectic. But actually within that, a lot of the pieces are quite quiet and contemplative and gentle. So you get a lot of different moods and forms of performance. We take over multiple venues in the city, so the home venue is Arnolfini, which has gallery spaces and performance spaces. So, of course, we end up working with all the forms that implies and all the bits in between. So, you know, actually the public spaces are really important, the street outside is important, and nothing's more important than anything else, so the hierarchy is quite democratic.
The main question that's come out from a couple of people is... what is it exactly that makes In Between Time different to other festivals of white art? And is it those outside interventions?
I think, I'm just wondering. I think other festivals do have them. I think there's two things, probably. I mean, I'm thinking about particularly live art as a form in the UK, because we have quite a lot of live art festivals, because actually live art seems to perform very well in a festival environment, actually, and often we don't have access to venues all the time. So, you know, we don't have live art programmes that run annually so much in the major venues, but festivals have become our way of presenting those works because they're all very experiential and immersive. So that's basically why the festival's grown up as a form that the live art sector works within. But what was your question? What is different about it? Okay. So one of the things that's majorly different is that we're working in a major contemporary visual art space. So we have, you know, it has a 2-month curated exhibition, and working with artists who are practicing really at the kind of very top of their careers. So Teresa Margolez was represented in the Venice Biennial last year, and she's one of the most significant international contemporary visual artists. So her work is being shown alongside very emergent local practitioners, and not necessarily in the gallery space. The gallery spaces are curated, they're thematic. So in this year, it's looking at the ideas of the body, but what happens when the body fails, or in a way you run out of body, so potentially you die, the traces you leave behind you, or if you become distributed, you know, virtually, what does a body really mean when we have so many versions of ourselves around, and often they're left when we're gone? So it's kind of really returning to the body as matter and looking at the ideas of the body fragmenting. And so that's a very kind of clear curatorial strand, but also I think what does epitomise In Between Time is it's very, very playful. So it has very serious curatorial thinking and, you know, long dialogues with artists and audiences, but it has, you know, a real playful edge to it. So there's a lot of parties, there's a lot of, you know, work that it is funny, is eccentric, is happening, you know, ephemerally in front of you and then's gone. So, you know, whilst we're talking, Carter and Zerl are making a really beautiful work through the public spaces of the Arnolfini, in which on the surface, you know, when I tell you what it is, it's basically a man and a woman dressed identically, walking extraordinarily slowly for 3 hours towards each other, but their heads are covered in chicken wire embedded with white sliced bread, so they actually can't see anything at all, they're completely blinded by the bread. And so they're making their way very gently around the building to meet each other and eventually eat the bread from each other's faces. And so that just sounds, you know, I mean, it's an extraordinarily striking image. and their, you know, their work is all about making these very really strong images, but actually about these tender encounters that happen within these images that they're making. But, you know, that is a bit mad. So, you know, there's a lot of public that come through in between time that don't know anything about live art and don't really care, don't care about contemporary performance. They're just kind of passing through, and actually those audiences really enjoy that kind of work because it goes back to a kind of clowning aesthetic maybe, or something that's actually quite open and accessible in reality. So In Between Time is good at doing things like that. So we have the really kind of quite hardcore, challenging contemporary work alongside very playful interventions into public. I mean, it's not just sites, it's public mind, public thinking, I guess.
What has been the most interesting reactions you've had from other people? Which pieces have sort of evoked the most interesting responses?
Okay, there was a piece on the opening night. It was two, again, very playful performances that were intervening into the opening preview. So bear in mind, we've got this very serious work looking at death and the body and the traces, literally. I mean, one piece, Teresa Margolis' piece. Now, actually, I'll talk about the two, because Teresa Margolis' piece is called 37 Bodies, and it's 37 threads taken from the body after autopsy, tied together and just strung across the middle of the really big main gallery space at Anthony. So it's an immense and very high space with just this kind of thread, this stitch going through. And each thread, for me, represents one corpse. So it looks, it feels like to me there's 37 bodies sitting in that space, and those bodies are very much, you know, Teresa practiced initially as a mortician, so she witnessed bodies being brought into the morgue that were then not claimed by their families and remained anonymous because of fear of repercussions. So everyone represented in this work is anonymous, but they've all suffered a violent death, and it's directly as a result of the drug trade in Mexico that's currently, or just, I mean, 5,000 people are killed each year as a direct result of that trade, which is an international trade, but just happens to focus on Mexico at the moment and is just a massive, catastrophic situation. So if you're a contemporary artist working in that context, you know, what kind of work can you make, I guess? So her work is this very powerful kind of fissure through the centre of the programme for me. Seeing people react to that is just, you know, it's interesting because actually I'm always really delighted by the fact that people are generally very open, and, you know, and they're nowhere near as conservative as we think they're going to be, and actually death is present in all our lives. And so you watch people take a step and a breath when they realise what actually the work is. And, you know, you can feel that it's just this kind of minimal, very minimal piece of work. But actually the kind of power of it is, you know, just hanging in the air. And watching people react to that is, I've really enjoyed. And that will continue for another 2 months. But then alongside that, Paul Hurley's piece, who's an artist based in Bristol, he did a piece called Concentrate Not With. And it was a piece in which he sits in the foyer, offers oranges to the public, and there's this really lovely smell of oranges in the air. And he sits there and he's got a very kind of, his very beautiful face, looks at people very openly and kind of pulls you in because of the way he's performing very much. And then he offers oranges out. So a lot of teenagers and young people were all in the opening, and these two girls came forward and had an orange. And we just kind of, you could see, they were like, what is he going to do? What a nutter. And then he takes the orange and cuts it in half on a chopping board on his lap, and then puts the orange on his head and then squeezes the orange juice over his head by just putting the board down over the orange, basically. So there's orange juice dripping into his eyes, into his skin, all down his shirt. And he did that for 25 minutes with these two girls just watching him, initially just pissing themselves laughing because and thinking, yeah, what a nutter. And then looking again, looking and going, I don't understand why he's doing that. That's just a bit stupid. And then, you know, you could see them sort of changing when he kind of then offered them another orange. They took the orange. And then it became this kind of relationship with them where they were taking the oranges from him to stop him you know, getting them in his eyes, basically.